Hello everyone, my name is Neil Patel and this is the Indian Startup Show. Today I'm joined by Deepak Gabbett, who is heading the mobile growth at Times Internet. Hello Deepak.
Hi Neil.
How's it going?
It's going great.
Excellent.
Thanks for inviting me.
Okay, no worries. So just tell the listening millions a little bit about yourself, you know, what you're actually doing at the moment.
All right. So like Neil mentioned, I head mobile growth for Times Internet, which is a large media company managing a lot of internet and digital properties.
Yep.
So my role is primarily, you know, is a cross between product and marketing and analytics.
Okay.
So like we all know that, you know, growth is mainly driving meaningful traffic,
mm-hmm.
retaining existing users, and try and figure out, you know, how do we really best monetize those users. So you know, I look into all these three areas and try and see how we can grow the overall overall monetizable base for Times Internet.
Yep. So you must be busy at the moment then.
Oh yeah. In fact, you know, so we've got 18 apps,
right.
To be precise, and you know, all of these apps put together, they give us about 50 million MAUs monthly. So you know, a lot of big numbers to play with, mm-hmm. and you know, a lot of different verticals with different kind of mindset. You need to switch your every day there's a you know, new task.
Yeah.
Every day you can do different stuff.
Cool. How big is the team?
The growth team is overall 14 people, which includes analytics, marketing, and product.
Okay, so I mean, how does it work between you and the team then? Do you come up with things that you need to track and then tell the team, or is it the other way around? So how does it work within the team?
So for every vertical, we've got a couple of guys managing, so we've got 18 verticals and there are six guys who basically overlook those 18 verticals, and we divided some verticals based on their categories.
Mm-hmm.
And how it works is that we've got very clear two metrics for each of our vertical.
Right.
And that's what drives the entire team, and that's what, you know, guides them on what to be done on a daily basis. For example, you know, we've got a music streaming app, which is Gaana.
Mm-hmm.
We only focus, so obviously, you know, for product guys, there are multiple metrics which they follow, but from a growth perspective, you know, my only objective is to, I want people to listen to more music.
Yeah.
That's for free users, and I want people to actually subscribe to our paid subscription, right? So these are two core metrics which will drive the overall growth. So if these are two objectives, and the guy who's handling the growth for Gaana, so they would actually work with product on building features which will bring the user back often, which will, you know, make him listen to more music,
mm-hmm.
or, you know, we'll work with marketing and see if we can get some brilliant offers so that, you know, they can actually subscribe to subscription,
yeah.
or we can, you know, make it easier for them to, you know, give their payment information to us so that the whole checkout process is smoother. And of course, you know, when it comes to spending money and getting users from outside,
mm-hmm.
what kind of platform should we choose? Should we market it on Facebook? If it is Facebook, then what kind of audience should we be targeting? And also, if you've got existing users who've not renewed with us,
mm-hmm.
how do we remarket to them, either through email or through Facebook or any other external ad network? So all these things put together,
yeah.
you know, that's what, you know, keeps the team busy. And they're all evaluated based on these two metrics, you know.
Yeah.
What are the total conversions at the end of the month based on whatever activities we're doing.
Mm-hmm, excellent. So do you have like one dashboard then that covers all these 14 apps, or do you have like 14 different dashboards? How would you like check to see if things are working or not?
Yeah, so we've got one dashboard. So we use a third-party attribution tool.
Okay.
And then we use GA Premium, and we push all that data from that third-party attribution tool to GA Premium. So,
okay.
So in that dashboard, so first of all, the attribution tool gives us, you know, very clear understanding of where the traffic is coming in from. Who are these users who are installing my app?
Mm-hmm.
What kind of sources are working for me?
Mm-hmm.
What is the typical ARPU I'm generating from each source? And what is the typical retention I'm getting from each source? So a very basic level filtering is done at that level itself, where I'm actually able to, first of all, optimize my marketing campaign. And then once we push that data back to GA, based on, you know, GA cohorts, we are actually able to pinpoint on these specific either demographics or specific devices or specific locations. We are able to pinpoint the kind of features they are using, the kind of drop-off they have, or the kind of, engagement they have with the app.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, that data flows back to the product guys with some recommendation on things they can do. And that's the ongoing task on a daily basis. So it's a combination. And plus, of course, you know, there are multiple tools which we use to engage the users, starting from push notification. Then we got an A/B testing, A/B testing tool, and then we've also have we're using some external tool for our referral program. So all these things put together, you know, we consolidate. So at the end of the day, a lot of manual work needs to be done because, you know, a lot of tools, they don't talk to each other. So you know, so we also maintain an offline dashboard kind of a thing, which is made using using the CSV imports which you get from all these platforms.
Cool, cool. So do, would you get involved with like the e-commerce side of things then, in terms of generating revenue, you know, plans to generate or increased optimization for revenue and advertisements and stuff like that?
Where we actually focus on generating direct revenue is a music streaming app, because that has a subscription, and thankfully, you know, that is working really well for us, because if you actually, you know, while India is not big on paying for digital music, but, you know, we've been able to convert a lot of our free users into paid users. It is a combination of good marketing, good offers, and also a good persuasion inside the app to bring those users to, you know, a paid model. So, in fact, if you actually see in iOS, the Gaana app, which is a music streaming app, is number six overall.
Right, okay.
Category. So, so there are five games, and then the sixth app is Gaana. And in Android also, we are, you know, if you exclude all the apps, we are either number two or number three. So we've been, you know, fairly, you know, lucky in getting, you know, a lot of paid users, which is a very rare occurrence in India, and I think that is what is driving the overall growth for us. So and that also helps us, you know, focus more on acquiring new users, because, you know, once you lock the user for three months or 6 months in a paid subscription, chances are that, you know, they would stay back because they've committed money upfront, and, you know, it is easier for them to, you know, stick to one music app rather than jumping between various apps.
Excellent. So in terms of retaining customers, you know, obviously once they've downloaded the app, I mean, what kind of retention strategies do you have? Is it like a notification strategy of like breaking news, etc., something like that? Or how would you go around retaining customers?
Retention, you know, as we all know, is the single most important factor which every product guy, every marketing guy, every growth guy is concerned about, because frankly, in India, there are a lot of concerns on retention because for two, three reasons. The reason number one, I think... the uninstall rates in India are pretty high,
right?
And the reason for that is, you know, people actually buy devices which are less than $100, and there's very little space on the phone, because after all the basic OS and all the 15 to 16 Google apps, and then there are some bloatware which most the OEMs would add.
Yeah,
space is only left, and then, you know, you would hold some music and photographs. There's only you know, little space which is left on the phone. So people actually, you know, are in this habit of installing the app, using it for some data, and then uninstalling it. So uninstall is one big, you know, issue facing almost all app developers in India. So and also, you know, a lot of so even though, you know, there are a lot of people who keep the app, then, you know, there's a lot of competition in India. There's a lot of high pitch marketing happening. So people would actually switch to another app, and then they forget about your app. So it's always, you know, a big fight to make sure that, you know, people who already have your app or they've seen your app once, to bring them back. And I think in terms of our strategy, it's very clear. First of all, it's a combination of three or four things. So obviously push notification helps.
Yeah.
But we have to be very careful about push notification because, you know, nowadays it is becoming more like it's more spammy kind.
Yeah, yeah.
Apps would actually start sending a non-targeted push notification, and that sets a really wrong impression among users' minds. So they generally switch off notifications for all the apps, even if, you know, even if you try and target apps which are suited to them. So yes, push works, but yeah, we have to be very careful. So we've been very selective about the kind of push we send. Let's say, for example, you know, and we have to follow a different strategy. For example, for our music app, you know, we need to send a push notification based on the artist you like or the kind of music you like. But when it comes to news, now there's a very different kind of behavior when it comes to push notification. Now, typically, there are two types of users who use news apps.
Yeah.
People who open the app on a daily basis, read the news, and then come back the next day. And then there are people who are, and in fact, there are a lot of people who've told us that, you know, they actually get their news quota from the notification we send. So, for example, a Times of India app would send about 8 notifications a day. And there are a lot of people who are comfortable just reading notification and they don't open the app.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So then that becomes their news quota for the day. And so we have to, you know, cater to both kind of users where one likes the notification.
Yeah.
So they want more and more notifications to come. And then there are other side of users who, you know, who like to open the app frequently. So what we do is, you know, people who actually, you know, open the app, let's say twice a day, we tend to send them really, really breaking news and not necessarily, you know, every news that comes away.
So it's personalization. Yeah.
Yeah. So those kind of little things we do. And then the second thing, which, so we have our own, as I mentioned, you know, we've got our own set of 18 apps, and there are about 50 million users across all our apps. So we actually cross-promote a lot of our tasks within our network. So let's say, you know, you've been reading news and we realize that you also have Economic Times app with you, but you've not opened it.
Yeah.
We actually try to, you know, cross-sell you our other app and remind you about the new stuff which we've added. So we use retargeting using our own network. Plus, of course, you know, Facebook is a preferred medium for retargeting. So we use a lot of custom audiences and for retargeting users based on either 7-day retention or based on their taste in a particular category or based on certain events.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. So obviously you've got these mobile apps. Are you looking for people? Are you looking to target people to get off the website and then to onto your mobile platform then?
Okay. So that's an interesting question because if you look at our company Times Internet, we still get close to 70 to 80 million users on our websites, and that's to desktop websites.
Yeah.
And then we have about 40 to 50 million on our web sites.
Mm-hmm.
While the desktop, we are able to monetize really well.
Yeah.
So while we push our mobile app there, but you know, since the monetization on desktop is still pretty good for us, we don't really mind, you know, people still using a desktop.
Right.
But when it comes to mobile browser, because you know, a mobile browser, the monetization levels are so low. It's generally sold on CPC, which is you know, fairly low, and even Google Access doesn't help you there.
Yeah.
So that's when we really push our users to start using our app and you know, all our ads, which generally get shown in web, are mostly towards pushing users to use the app. So that's why, you know, we focus more on app indexing, so that, you know, if somebody's got the app rather than going to web, they should, you know, generally go to app, and you know, that also helps us monetize better, because app advertising revenues are at least 6 to 7x of what we get in web. So yeah, it's in our interest to push web users, and we keep, you know, doing a lot of stuff, like, you know, in fact, we've also taken some hard calls on forcing some of our web users to try out app for a day.
Yeah.
For example, our Ghana app, for Ghana mobile browser site, we've removed streaming from there.
Okay.
You can browse the content, you can browse the catalog, you can see what's new, but you can't listen to the music there. So if you want to stream music, you have to download our app.
Okay, cool. How did you actually get into mobile growth then? What's your backstory then?
All right. So I was doing gaming for about 8 years, mostly mobile gaming. And, you know, since gaming used to be the only form of mobile content India used to consume about 5-6 years back, because there were no smartphones, mostly feature phones. And in feature phones, you have those Java games which people used to download.
Snakes, right? on Nokia 3310.
Right, so I got into that, you know, the whole ecosystem of making people to download our games.
Mm-hmm.
It was mostly through unorganized app stores, mostly through telcos. So it was a different kind of targeting, not the way we do today. But still, you know, it gave us good insights on, you know, what users like, what kind of stuff they, you know, like to play, and how to really keep the users engaged. And, you know, obviously the data we used to collect that time was not really rich. But, you know, at least it got us some understanding of, you know, user usage patterns. And then about 3 years back, I joined Paytm, which is India's biggest mobile commerce company.
Okay.
And that's where, you know, we started. And Paytm was the first company to actually have a dedicated consumer app for recharging your mobile online. And you know, about 3 years back, not much was happening in India, and there were not many apps in India which were, you know, right up there, mostly global apps which are doing well in India. And that's when, you know, when I discovered that, you know, it's a great opportunity to, you know, get users to mobile, because, you know, once they downloaded our app, we realized that their repeat rate has gone up drastically, and their spends have gone up. So So we started focusing big time on mobile apps there, and since it was an open ground, there's not much competition. Yeah. We could really experiment a lot. We could, you know, really get CPIs at some significantly lower prices, and you know, and we had a runway of about 6-7 months till our competition came to mobile. So we could experiment a lot, and that's where I actually learned most of this, what you call it, growth hacking today, or most of this, deep understanding of how different acquisition platform works, how engagement and retention and all these things, basically the customer lifecycle management on mobile.
Yeah.
That's where, I actually learned most of it. And I think those 2 years at Paytm were really, really helpful for me personally to gain deep insights. And thankfully, overall Paytm, that we grew so fast. That overall growth also helped us, really showcase whatever we're doing internally to the large audience outside.
Excellent. So what would you say your favorite growth hacks are, or what you've read, or what you've done yourself personally?
Like I mentioned, there are a lot of different apps I work in. So for each app, the growth hacks differ. For example, if it is an app which has some sort of currency in it, then I would focus more on referrals, because for example, in Ghana, we have this referral program that you get more friends, you get a 15-day extended free trial of our premium service. Now that works really well, because you are actually getting a new user and somebody's getting a free subscription, and we seem to have found a soft spot where people are able to recommend 3 or 4 friends, and they're able to get 2 months of free subscription, and then out of that, the conversion from those free users to people who actually then end up paying is much, much higher. So, that makes both our task easier, acquiring new users, as well as people who've experienced a subscription service for 2 months, then converting. Because, if you have a paid service for 2 months, for example, we allow you to download music and listen to it offline. In a market like India, where data cost is very high and people don't want to spend on 3G and 2G, they find this feature really useful. So over a period of 2 months, you actually end up downloading a lot of songs, and you create your own catalog. And suddenly after 2 months, when there's time to, renew, a lot of people, renew just because, they don't want to lose their catalog, which they've downloaded on their phone. So that strategy seems to have worked really well, well for us. Otherwise, in terms of if I have to, be very generic about the kind of growth hacks, I think the secret lies in the onboarding, because you ask anybody who's managing today app growth, first 2 to 3 days are the most crucial period when users would either stick to your app or they would just abandon it and would never come back. In fact, the 80-90% attrition actually happens first 3 days itself. So how you really onboard the user, how do you really keep the user engaged for first 2 days? So it is like either a welcoming email with you capture email from, let's say if it is Android, you get it from Get Accounts, or maybe if they are finding some difficulties, send them a small little nudge inside the app and asking them if they need some help. Or after 2 days, a very soft reminder, a push notification asking them, how did they like the app, or asking for feedback. So the first 2 to 3 days, it is very critical how you really handle the customer. And when they open the app for the first time, what's the kind of experience you're trying to give to them. So that's where I think the product focus comes into the picture, because once you get the onboarding right, everything else falls in place, because, our users are now sticking with you. Now it's up to your overall strategy of making sure that you continue to serve a good content to them. You continue to have engagement strategy for those users. Be it giving them right content to push, or giving them right context to come back to the app, and also keep the app light. Now, very interesting insight, especially again, very, very Indian problem is that. I think I mentioned that people have very less space on their phones.
Yeah.
Now, while the app size is one, it has to be, let's say, lower than 5 MB so that people can download. But I've seen that a lot of apps, once they get downloaded, they create a lot of cache, they do a lot of offline storage, and that bloats the overall app. The reason for uninstall is that these apps become so big that when somebody browses, goes to the setting and they look at apps which are consuming a lot of space, you know, these are the apps which gets uninstalled for us. So we have to make sure that, how do you really maintain the right balance of, for example, for news apps, you know, it is, we have to maintain a balance, how much should we cache and how much should we, you know, stream directly. So, you know, that whole engineering and the balancing act also is something which, you know, really keeps the users install the app. So these are a few things which, you know, from a product or from a marketing perspective, you know, we try and keep in our mind.
Excellent. So moving on, I just noticed on Twitter you were like one of the lucky ones to visit the Google HQ in Mountain View.
Yeah.
What was that like and what were you there for?
So Google has this, Google has started this new initiative called Developers Ecosystem Feedback.
Okay.
So they basically, you know, they started inviting people from each country where they think, you know, they'll be focusing going forward. So recently they had this event where they invited people from South Africa, Sweden, Denmark, Thailand, Japan, mm-hmm. and India.
Wow.
And I was lucky to, you know, be representing India there.
Wow.
So the whole objective was, and Google wanted to actually, you know, listen from us that, you know, what exactly are the ground realities, what from a developer point of view, what Google should be doing in India, what are the things which we expect Google to do, or what are the things which, you know, competition is doing, especially Facebook, which developers feel, you know, should also be done by Google in terms of monetization, in terms of distribution, also in terms of, you know, the basic issues like Android fragmentation, Android testing issues. So basically they wanted to understand, so all the product managers, key product managers of Google, be it AdWords, AdSense, Analytics, Play Store, Android, they're all sitting in a one room and listening to us. So it was the other way around where, you know, we were actually able to explain to them what are the things which, you know, would, according to a developer, would work in India. So I stressed upon facts like, you know, how fragmentation is becoming a big issue for developers, because if you look at the scenario today, because of sub-$100 phones, there are at least 2,000 to 3,000 handsets which are out there in the market, and even if I have to look at 80% of my audience, is, you know, I still have about 100 handsets which you need to take care, and they're all, you know, in different specs. You know, there are still phones which are running 256 MB RAM, just still running, you know, some old version of Android, and it becomes increasingly difficult for developers to really create apps which would, you know, provide similar experience across all the versions. So that, of course, you know, Google has this Android One initiative which didn't work out in version one. I think they're coming back with another version for that. And then, you know, there are other issues like monetization, right? For example, in terms of number of downloads, India stands number 3 after US and Brazil.
Okay.
But when it comes to monetization, we are not even in top 15.
Wow.
Right. So the single reason for that, there are obviously multiple reasons, but I think the biggest reason is that nobody attaches their credit cards to Google Play Store. So first of all, I think the only payment option on Google Play Store is credit cards. Now, there are only about 15 million active online credit cards in India.
Wow.
Now, how do you expect those, you know, with such a small base, people to actually, so there are about 150 million Android phones, but, you know, there are only about 14 to 15 million people with credit cards. So first of all, the only payment option they have is not at all popular in India. So they need to introduce debit cards, net banking, and maybe if possible, carrier billing, which I think they've been talking about it for last couple of years, but they've still not done anything about it. So that's the, you know, most basic thing which developers expect from Google to really focus on, you know, getting users to start paying into Android. And of course, you know, there are a lot of other soft factors like users are not comfortable paying on Android because of, I think, quality issues. There are a lot of clones available, so that you're never sure if you're buying the right app.
Yeah.
And then there are a lot of malwares, and, you know, the overall ecosystem is not conducive to you know, paying into the system, because, you know, users don't have that kind of confidence that their you know, purchase would be worth it. Mm-hmm. And plus, you know, of course, you have these APKs available now. If let's say you have you know, some game with good in-app purchase, there are some, you know, illegal apps which will actually give you fully cracked game with, you know, everything unlocked inside.
Okay.
So, you know, it's something which Android or Google needs to see how they can stop it, because that really hurts Earth developers. So I think that the whole 2 days was spent around this, and you know, a lot of other things which Google also told us about the kind of initiative they are taking to counter all these things, which I think they'll be announcing as we go along. So, yeah. So those were two really informative days. I mean, first day it was me who was telling them what they should be doing, and day two, all the product managers one-on-one, they told us, you know, what are the kind of initiatives they are doing specifically for India or specifically for any other country which was being represented there.
Cool. Excellent. So were you, at the end of the 2 days, were you happy with the meeting or the outcome or
not? Yeah. In fact, I think I'm pretty excited with the kind of stuff they are doing.
Mm-hmm.
While it is still a few months away, but I think once it is out, it is going to actually solve a lot of problems which I just spoke about.
Yeah.
So they have a specific solution to a lot of such issues which plague the Android ecosystem today worldwide.
Excellent. So what kind of apps do you use on your phone then?
So I currently, since, you know, I'm building some new apps, I'm actually trying a lot of utility apps. So,
okay.
So that's because of my work, because, you know, we're trying to figure out, you know, what makes users to... use the utility apps, keep such utility apps, what are the kind of hooks these apps have. But otherwise, for my day-to-day use, I think you would mostly find productivity apps and a lot of shopping apps, because I love shopping on,
okay.
on mobile. So my phone would have almost 17 to 18 apps for shopping.
Wow.
And then, you know, I've just got a couple of games. So I used to have about 20 games on my phone, which I've cut down because, you know, don't have much time to play games. And then, of course, you know, I keep a couple of music streaming apps, and which includes, you know, some of our own apps and some of our competition apps.
Mm-hmm.
These are the kind of apps I have. And I have also, you know, since, you know, I use a 16 GB on both Android and iOS, I always run out of space, so I keep repeating and keep uninstalling and reinstalling the apps.
Okay, cool. I mean, I've noticed there's loads of like food startups now in India. That seems to be a big thing.
Oh yeah, in fact, you know, I forgot to tell you that. I have on my phone almost 11 apps.
So you won't go hungry then?
That's adding to the confusion, because every time I have to order out, first I have to decide which app.
Yeah, you don't have to decide what food, you have to decide what app you're going to use first.
And then one app which I keep is a couponing cap, because, you know, all these apps are offering, all these startups are offering big discounts. So I have to first figure out which app is offering the biggest discount. I first pick up the coupon which has the biggest discount, and then that becomes my first choice that day.
Cool, excellent. So you must have like a lot of notifications then on your phone.
Oh, I in fact keep most of my notifications on as far as Android is concerned, but on iOS I generally disable all my notifications.
Cool. So I mean, what tips would you give to like startups, say they were building an app and they were basically at zero and they want to get to like 100 or 1,000 downloads? Any tips? Any advice you would give to them?
If it is India, I think thankfully in India, you know, since we are adding about 5 to 6 million new users every month for Android,
wow.
There's a huge opportunity to create something which would appeal to these absolutely new users.
Yeah. Right?
So people who've never used smartphone before, so see if you can. So there are a lot of hidden settings in Android itself, right? So how can you help these users to use their Android phones more effectively? So, for example, you know, I would give you a very rough example. Now, you have, for example, you've got about 16 GB or 10 GB on your phone, and you've got about 20 apps installed. Now, a phone is running out of space, and it is becoming slow. So, can you guide users by the settings? In settings, you can see all that.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, a lot of people who are new to Android, they don't know how to really, you know, go about it. So, if you can, you know, have a push notification service or a simple overlay which actually tells them that, you know, they can safely delete these 3 apps because they've not used those apps for the last 7 days. But those are kind of hand holding which new users need on their smartphone, which can actually make their smartphone lives better. So, you know, think of ideas which would appeal to these absolutely new users.
Yeah.
But you can always, you know, think of ideas which would appeal to existing 150 million users. But I think that space is fairly occupied. There are a lot of startups trying to solve problems for existing Android users, trying to, you know, bring in more and more services in same categories. So I think there's some opportunity in the languages space, because there are a lot of tier 2 and tier 3 people now coming in. They are not comfortable with English, while they are able to browse through basic stuff. But when it comes to, you know, deep usage of apps, they need apps in their local language. So for example, you know, I have seen that in the last 6 months, there are a lot of Hindi to English dictionary apps which have actually crossed 1 million downloads.
Oh, right.
Now, it sounds like a very simple app, right? You create a dictionary app, but like I mentioned, you know, there are a lot of new users coming in. They want to learn using, you know, they want to have learning, they want to have entertainment, they want to, you know, learn more about smartphones. So all these small little apps, you know, they gain so much traction because, you know, that appeals to this large audience who are absolutely new to this platform.
Excellent. So just wrapping up, I know you're like the editor of It's an App World on Medium.com. So if you could just give us more information about that.
Yeah, so it happened because, you know, when I was writing my blog on Medium and it was getting fairly good traction, and I used to get a lot of people writing into me. And then there were a lot of people who would, you know, interact with me constantly on my Medium post, and, you know, I would then, you know, publish their notes, and maybe, you know, there are a lot of people who would have follow-up posts based on what I would write. So that's when the idea of, you know, starting my own publication came to me, and I thought, you know, since I've been writing about mobile growth and analytics, mm-hmm. and I know a lot of people who've been doing that, with whom I've been interacting on Medium. So I contacted a few of them, and they all agreed to, you know, contribute to that publication. It started with some 3 or 4 writers. I have almost about 40 writers now who regularly contribute.
Yep.
And I managed to get about 1,600 subscribers so far, but more than subscribers, I think we get really good visits every day. So, yep. So pretty happy with the kind of response I've got there. I've got really good writers, and there are a lot of people who, you know, who really like the curation of stuff which I've done. So that's going pretty well for me.
Okay, excellent. Last question then: where plans for the future? How do you see it going at Times Internet?
Sorry.
How what's the plans for the future for the Times Internet?
All right. So Times Internet, you know, like I mentioned, you know, we are, Times Internet is a holding company. So there are about 18 verticals. So each vertical has their own target.
Yeah.
But I think from a Times Internet perspective, from my personal target, we're looking at basically growing our 50 million base to 150 million in next 1 year. So mm-hmm. that's like a 3x growth. So if that's the objective, so we need to first look at our existing verticals and see how we can grow them, and mm-hmm. then also add new verticals. So we'll be, you know, launching a lot of new apps, which would be in the utility, productivity, lifestyle categories, which are mass categories in India.
Yes.
Some niche areas, so that, you know, we can also do a little bit of experimentation and see if, you know, something like that works.
Well,
so idea is to, you know, grow the existing base.
Yeah.
To our existing verticals, and also introduce a lot of new apps, a lot of new services, which has the potential of bringing in mass audiences.
Excellent. Taking over the world, basically.
Yeah.
Excellent. So thank you, Deepak. Much appreciated.
Oh, it was great talking to you.
Excellent. So that's the end of the Indian Startup Show. So we'd love to know what you're building, and we can talk about it on the show. So email hello@neilpatel.co. You can go to indianstartupshow.com and see you on the next episode of the Indian Startup Show. Thank you and goodbye.